It's great to have all of you here today, and we have our Shorter Hawks football team. We have all the players, and we have all the coaching staff and assistants, and the wives who would dare come with them on a day like this. They're in our dark side service in the simulcast, and they're 200 over there. And we're going to give you a round of applause from over here. Well, let's pray together before we get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. There's not a person here that's here by accident. We're all here by divine appointment. Lord, every service that we have, we open the doors not expecting visitors. We expect guests. And thank you for all the guests we have, the first-time guests, and all these football players and coaches. Be those coaches, give them divine wisdom to direct their knowledge as they try to live out before these young men what it means to be soldiers of Christ, to strive towards excellence. Thank you for all these players I had an opportunity to meet this morning. They're from all over the place, New York, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, everywhere. Why are they at Shorter? Well, to get a Christian education, to play sports. But there's some on the team that have never invited Jesus in their heart as Savior and as Lord. And I pray that while they're here, during their tenure at Shorter, they'll come to make the most important decision in their whole lives. And that's to trust you as Savior and serve you as King of Kings and Lord of their lives. Thank you for giving our church an opportunity to love on this team from our school, a Georgia Baptist school, Shorter University. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For those who are members here, you know that I write my sermons in advance. I got a call from Dr. Dallas about 3 weeks ago. He said, "Dr. May, would you please host the Shorter football team for worship service and lunch?" Well, after I caught my breath and let him talk a little more, and I said, "Oh, we would just be delighted to have you." He said, "We'll bring food and drinks. You set up, take down. We'll bring some set up, take down help. And then provide desserts." I put out the word last week, and over 75 of our godly ladies have made homemade from scratch desserts. Dr. Dallas said, "We want to do this on August the 5th. I said, "Okay," and I asked my secretary to bring in the sermon I had scheduled for August the 5th. Now listen to me carefully. I didn't prepare anything special for the Shorter football team. Back in March, I wrote a message called Living Life in Second Mile Style Ministry. I had my secretary to bring that sermon to me, and I looked it over. It is absolutely loaded with football illustrations, and I had no idea in March that August 5th, the coaches, the staff, the athletic director would be here at Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church. So I want you to know this is just another regular day here at the farm. January 2017, a place kicker named Justin Tucker finished one of the most outstanding NFL careers or seasons in a career for a place kicker. He made 38 of 39 field goals playing for the Ravens. The one that he missed was blocked by miraculous interference by New England's Shea McClellan. And you can see that on YouTube. I want you to know that this kicker was 10 for 10 for more than 55 yards. At the Pro Bowl, before he dressed out, he was out on the field kicking field goals from 70 yards. Somebody asked him, "How do you make kicks? How do you do that?" He said, "I don't go on the field to try to make a kick." He said, "I go on the field to make the kick." What an attitude. Watch him make this from 55 yards.
Jay did those 60s in his sleep too, Jim. I know he did.
You're not kidding. Look at this.
Oh, wow.
Look how high this is, how long it is, and how true it is from 55, Justin Tucker.
Ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, how we need the attitude of this young kicker. He goes in, he's striving towards doing one thing, not trying to make the kick, but he's going to make that kick. Once we've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, He didn't call one of us to be a spectator. He called us all to be servants. He's getting us off the bench and out on the field. Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church, down from a junkyard and across from a horse pasture. We've been upgraded from the cow pasture to the horses. Why is this church here? Number one, God wants it here. This is a very intentional church. God gives us direction on where we're going. We're a church that is motivated by love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we strive for excellence. But why do we do that? Do we do that because there are a lot of other churches in the area? We need to show ourselves as distinguished above all the rest. Why is it that we attempt to excel here in this little place? Well, I want to turn your attention today to several passages of Scripture. First of all, to Matthew chapter 5, verse 41. Here we find the Sermon on the Mount, and here's what Jesus said. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. This is where the phrase, go the extra mile, is derived. But specifically today, I want you to think about what Paul wrote in his epistles. He was always talking about living life in second mile style. Don't do just what you're required. Go overboard. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. And in fact, you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ to do this more and more. You could translate that you excel in this. He says that you may be excellent the way you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Paul urges the Thessalonians, excel. Be excellent in the way you love each other. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you're doing, work heartily as unto the Lord, or to put their whole self into it and give their best effort. First thing I want you to write down, what is the start of our service? We're born-again believers. Where does that service start? When does God call us to begin serving Him? Matthew 5:41. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. The Israelites would have had resentment towards Roman soldiers passing by making that request. You had an Israelite, you had a Jew working in a field. And notice at this time they were living under Roman rule. Perhaps you had a Roman soldier who had been on the road for 5 days carrying his backpack and all of his equipment. When he walks down the road, he sees a Jewish farmer in the field and he says, "Hey, I've been on the road for 4 or 5 days. Come take my heavy load for 1 mile. The Jew had been heard Jesus, what he had been teaching. Jesus said, drop what you're doing in the field. Take the load from the soldier. Take the load and go the first mile. How many of you have ever heard a sermon on going the first mile? You've never heard it. What you always hear is a message about going the second mile. If you like to run, you have to train to build up stamina for long runs. If you know anything about jogging, the first hurdle is not the second mile, it's not the third mile, it's not the fourth mile, it's not the fifth mile, it's the first mile. Because you got to make up your mind that you're going to get off your backside and run that first mile before you can get to number 2 and all the way through number 5 or number 10. That's the basic requirement, the fundamentals of life, the first mile. In living the Christian life, what is the first mile? The first mile is what nobody sees. The first mile is in your quiet place, in your home, or possibly in your study, maybe in your dorm room. And you're in the Word of God, getting His message for you for the day. The first mile style is when you're in a quiet place and you've read a passage of Scripture and meditating over that for about 15 minutes and asking, God, what are you trying to tell me? There's a time that you praise the Lord. Some of you may worship the Lord by singing. Some of you better off not singing, but we're supposed to just make a joyful noise. But then the other time we spend time alone with God in prayer, that is the Christian's first mile service. You see, you have a lot of people out here who say, hey, make me leader of this over here in the church. Make me leader this in the sports team. Make me leader of that. But oftentimes, they're not going through the first mile preparations to get ready for that leadership. They want to be out front. It's a big show. They want all the applause. The first mile is the most important mile of all. Suppose these Jews heard what Jesus said. And here's what they did. They came out of the field, took the Roman's pack and his gear, and went the first mile, and the Roman soldier says, I'll take it from here. And you say, no, I'll just go another mile with you. Third mile, no, I'm not giving this back. I'm going to go the fourth mile. I'm going to the fifth mile. That Roman soldier might look at him after the fifth mile and say, look, if you ever need anything in the Roman Empire, you just call me. That Jew had shown the love of God to that soldier. Decide you're going to obey God. Our lives will be like a living sacrifice offered to God. Pleasant Valley South is blessed with many people who are ready and they're serving. But before they're qualified to serve, they're involved in first mile preparation. Second thing I want you to see here is stellar serving together, striving for excellence. I love Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. The key for a church or a team working together is unity. And listen to me carefully. When your unity is demolished, God takes His hand off your church. And whatever you do, it is not effective because God's hand and His power is not there. Individually, give your best. I don't care how old I am, I'm still here. 1980. I remember watching on television Georgia playing Tennessee. Georgia got way behind. And in the second half, further behind. It was a disastrous game. Herschel Walker was a freshman. He hadn't played one down in a game, so finally, Coach Dooley yelled back at the running backs coach and said, hey, get that Walker kid up here. I know he's a freshman. Let's just see what he can do. And so they put Herschel in, and we'll see what Herschel could do.
We hand it off to Herschel. There's a hole. 5, 10, 12. He's running all over people. Oh, you Herschel Walker. My God almighty, he ran right through two men. Herschel ran right over two men. They had him dead away inside the 9. Herschel Walker went 16 yards. He drove right over Orange Church, just driving and running with those big guys. My God, a freshman.
Georgia won the game. Dooley rode Herschel all of that 1980 season, Herschel's freshman season. At the end of the season, somebody walked up to Herschel. This is my favorite tailback interview. He said, what do you think about then handing the ball off to you 30 to 33 times a game? He said, that ball ain't heavy. And that's all he said. Some of you are upset that I played a Georgia tape. Well, once you get to be pastor, you can play any tape you want. Bo Jackson, outstanding. After he left Auburn and went pro, he went two sports. But on one occasion, he was playing for the Oakland Raiders. They were down on their own 11-yard line on offense. They called a left sweep for Bo Jackson. They tossed the ball to him. It was absolutely well defended, cluttered. And this is what you don't want to do normally if you're an average athlete, because your coach is saying, "Oh no, oh no." Bo turned around and ran back in his own end zone. Ran around the right side, broke three tackles, hurdled another guy, and went 88 yards toward the right end zone. And a defensive back, Rod Jones, caught him, tripped him up on the 1 yard line. Now, I'm going to encourage you to look up Rod Jones. He was a number one draft pick out of college, played for the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, here's what happens. The announcer said, "This guy's named Rod Jones." They said, "Rod Jones will be able to tell his grandkids he caught Bo Jackson." Now, I want you to know, if you look up in Wikipedia, you'll see the 11 seasons that Rod Jones played, and the only highlight under his name is he caught Bo Jackson after an 88-yard run. I think about Nick Chubb. Instead of going on spring break when he was at Georgia, he came home to work with his old high school team. He's just out there striving for excellence. He hasn't forgotten all the coaches who stood by him and the fans as he had his glory days in Cedartown. Then when I turned on the news 2 weeks ago, there's Nick Chubb. He's got his helmet sponsor with him. And he's given all new helmets to every player on the Cedartown football team. You strive for excellence. You do that on the field, and you do it off the field. As a church, we strive for excellence when we come for worship. But when we're out in the field, don't forget who we serve and who we worship. And we worship as we strive for excellence, because we won't do things to please men. We do things to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I've listened over the past couple of years to our church members saying we want to be more involved in ministry. And that's something we need to do together. So write down, together we give our best, from Colossians 1, 3 through 6. We were asked several months ago to adopt Pepperell Elementary and Pepperell Primary. So we did that, and Saturday a week ago, I watched 140 of you show up at the Gilbert Center. We had school supplies, we had fresh food, we had shelf life food, we had nurses on staff, we had, all of this is free. We had 5 beauticians there to give free haircuts. And then we had people there, 6 or 7 or 8 dental hygienists. We were giving away toothpaste, toothbrushes. We had 8 or 9 games. We had free books. We had soap. And I'm forgetting some of the things. I mean, it was just a huge, huge event. You were there early to set up. You stayed late to take down. See, there's so many people that live in poor families in the Lindale area. What you and I take for granted, a full stomach, or even a bar of soap or some toothpaste, what you and I take for granted is like Christmas morning for some of these kids. Will you say you want to do more? So Billy is called the Georgia Baptist Children's Homes at Baxley and the one in Palmetto, Georgia. So this fall, he's working on this right now. The city schools and the county schools don't have the same break times this year. So this fall, we'll probably toss a coin and pick Rome City or Floyd County, and you'll have an opportunity to go to one of our children's homes to do some repair work, a place that needs our help desperately. And in the spring, we'll have another one. And whichever county couldn't go on that one, they can go on the next one. October the 28th, we're going to be doing Operation Christmas Child boxes. We already have 1,700 packed and ready to ship internationally. And on that night, we're going to try to top it off and make it a total of at least 2,000 boxes that we're shipping to places that are totally, totally impoverished. We're going to offer some parenting seminars. We're going to offer some marriage seminars. And then we're about to start an apologetic class. Some of you, this will be for all ages. I was talking to Michael Dent the other day. He said, I'd be glad to teach apologetics here on Sunday afternoon. Then we're going to be working with the local homeless shelter. We're going to be doing some other things with the Salvation Army. I want you to know it's all there, but we have got to work together for God to bless. There's got to be unity. Here's the state of our nation right now. July the 9th, 2017, a young man named James Dunn. He was out near retention pond, and I want you to know that he's a mentally disabled man. He walked out next to this retention pond and wandered off into it, and there were five teenagers on the other side of the pond. They saw quickly that Mr. Dunn was in trouble. You know what they did? Those kids started saying, "You're going to die. You're going to drown. You're going to die. You're going to drown." And you know what they did? They videoed it. They sat on the bank and videoed a mentally challenged man walk off into a retention pond and drown. Some people thought there ought to be charges brought against those teenagers. David Weinstein, a former federal prosecutor, now in private practice, said, "Generally throughout the United States, there is no duty for us to rescue somebody else. It seems like common sense that those kids should have tried to help the guy instead of filming it." In 2012, the Supreme Court argument Justice Anthony Kennedy affirmed the same when he said, "You don't have the duty to rescue somebody if that person's in danger." Then he said, "Some severe moral criticism to that rule, but that generally is the rule." That stirs up anger within us, and it should. But are we as Christians willing to see ourselves in the tragedy? We must confess that too often we've refused to rescue those who are dying in their sins. God's blessed this little place, and I want you to know we've got the resources to reach out and touch lives. We can reach people for Christ. The door of opportunity is open. Let's move forward together. Then by the power of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You see, every believer is empowered with the Holy Spirit living with us. When you ask Christ to come into your heart, He immediately indwells you with His Spirit. Your body becomes His residence. And He said, "I will empower you as you minister in my name." Some of you have heard of the contemporary singing artist Stephen Curtis Chapman. He said he was really early in his career. He just couldn't believe it. He said that the Billy Graham Association called and asked him if he would sing one night of one of the Crusades. Those of you who are so young, you don't know who Billy Graham was. He was probably the most powerful and effective preacher and evangelist in the world back in the 20th century. Stephen Curtis Chapman came out that night. He sang. Everybody worshiped. We got through. Billy Graham got up and he just preached a simple message about people getting saved. And when he gave the invitation and he left the stage, Stephen Curtis Chapman was off stage. Franklin Graham, who is his son, Billy's son, who owns and operates Samaritan's Purse that affects people here and around the world, got a great ministry. Stephen Curtis Chapman heard Billy go to his son and say, "Son, I should have studied harder and changed that closing illustration." I think more people would have come. I don't think many people understood how to be saved. While Billy was telling Franklin that, 2,000 people came down out of the stadium to the front and accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord. Stephen Curtis Chapman was shocked. He said, "A man that operates in the power that he does, why would he question? Why would he question the way he gave his closing illustration?" And Franklin said, "Oh, that's common." He said, "Daddy does that every time he comes off the stage. No matter how famous or influential you are, you better be humble. Because that's the only way God's going to empower you to be used by Him." And then we serve to bring glory to God. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for the human master. Verse 24. "Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ, your servant." I was talking with a young lady that grew up here. She worked at a sandwich shop here in town. Her parents and her, they changed churches, but yeah, I kept up with her. Every time I buy a sandwich in that shop, "How's school? How are your grades?" "They're doing great." She graduated from nursing school. She walked in back here one day. I said, "Well, Anna, got a paycheck yet?" She said, "Mr. Phil, I can't believe how much they pay me to be a nurse." I said, "Does it pay more than making sandwiches every day?" She said, "You won't believe what I'm making right now." But you know what? We're not serving for that paycheck. Yes, we need that. God gives us the help, even the heartbeat and the breath, so that we can work. We can earn a living. We can be the best that we can be. But I want you to know, we go to work every day not trying to please our boss. We're serving as unto God, and I promise you, if that kind of effort doesn't please your boss, you need to work somewhere else. I read the other day about Diane Sawyer interviewing Billy Graham over 20 years ago, and she recounted his accomplishments through 50 years of preaching. He preached to over 120 million people face-to-face, and then countless more than that on radio and television. She then asked the world-renowned evangelist if he was pleased with his success. And his answer startled her and the TV audience. Here's what he said: "I don't think of myself as successful at all. I feel like a failure." Sawyer sought clarity, and she said, "Did you think you could change the world?" And here's what he said: "I thought maybe. But after a lifetime of preaching, the world is worse now than when I began my ministry." Ministry for all Christians, regardless of our calling, is a challenge and oftentimes discouraging. But all God called us to do is be obedient and persevere, and follow the example of expectant faith. Ladies and gentlemen, I thought about myself. If Billy Graham is a failure, what in the world am I? God called Delaney and me to invest our lives, the prime years of our lives, in Silver Creek. Next month, we'll finish 21 years. You've been gracious. You've been cooperative. You've been forgiven when I made mistakes and I said some things I really shouldn't have said. You've forgiven Warren Jones and me both. I'm not the best preacher you're going to hear in the whole wide world, not even in this town, not even in Silver Creek, but you'll never leave this place saying he was not prepared. But I believe with all my heart there's more God wants to do with us. And the only way to do that is not by complaining. Just follow the example of Jesus. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's what we want for his church. One of the ladies in our church came up to me after Sunday morning service last week. She handed me a legal size envelope sealed with no name on it. She said, it's just for you and Delane. Be honest with you, I didn't read it till Monday. I was busy. She was at the big event at the Gilbert Center last Saturday, a week ago. When I opened this up, here's what she titled it. Some little things I saw at the back to school event. The Dent family, and for those of you who are guests, they have 7 children. So I saw the Dent family, all 9 of them, even the baby girl walking in, ready to work. Ted, our business administrator, became emotional as he began to pray over the event because of the opportunity that was before us. During the event hours, whenever there was a pause in work, I would look up and see people outside the glass doors. Mr. Wilbur Norton is kneeling down on the concrete sidewalk. He's holding a cold bottle of water for an adorable toddler to take sips from, while her guardian is in conversation with someone else, Wilburn just being a grandpa. Later, I happened to look up and see across the room of one of our workers stop Ben Farah as he is walking by. She mentioned something to Ben, and without a minute's hesitation, Ben took his shirt off. Ben removed his top shirt and hands it to the lady. Ben and his 2 daughters continue on. Next, I see the same T-shirt being put on by a young man outside the front doors. The recreation center has a policy, no shirt, no shoes, no entry. The once shirtless young man now has a T-shirt on and proceeds inside to join his group and the family. Old Ben Farah, just being a dad. I saw our pastor walking around with a cardboard box with cold water. He just making sure all of us workers had something to drink. He just being a friend. I saw Allison Burkhalter helping a grandmother and child out the door to their car, helping carry all those items they'd received. And the little girl's enjoying it so much, she just comes back in with Allison for more fun. Allison just being a neighbor. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Warren Jones. His assignment was a bouncer, I think, to keep age-appropriate children in a certain room. He put his arms on many of the children's shoulders, telling them he was so glad they came. He even slid a few ineligible older siblings into that room so they could have a little something to do. Another grandpa moment. I won't read all of this to you, but I do want you to hear this. At one point, I saw everyone in the room where I worked stop, turn, and watch. There were 4 beautiful little girls that came in, 1 pre-K and triplets in K. The pre-K little girl asked if she could give me a hug and did. So her sisters, the triplets, did also. They hugged everybody around the table while their mom completed the registration. Now it's time for them to move on. Once a family was registered, they must pass by a designated person who directs them into the activity room. We all stopped when they reached this point and heard the little lover of hugs say, "Can I give you a hug to Bonnie Clark?" You can imagine the joy. Bonnie Clark is the official hugger. She hugs everybody and everything in the building. I saw families as they timidly came through the doors. Didn't know what to expect out of this old church group. Some were anxious and cautious. I'd see them again as they neared the end. Most seemed a little less weary of PBS and a little less stressed. And by the way, there was one little boy. He wasn't smiling. He wasn't excited at this event. He wasn't interested in being there. He was unhappy only because this event meant school was starting back soon. I must admit, I agree with him. Thank you, Miss Delane, Billy, and Ted, for your hard work. Thank you because I got to see some little things that were so huge to my heart. God's ready for us to love and minister in second mile style. They need to see our heart so this community can see the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you stand right where you are in both buildings?